The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
Well, today we get to have the pastors of fun. Our children's pastors, Jim and Hillary Early, and they are going to minister the word today. So come on up, you guys. Give them a hand.
Okay, thanks.
Howdy, everyone. Oh, am I turned on here? Am I? All right, great.
Dave just said, oops, see, I did it. Dave just said, I'm taking the microphone, so you'll have to bear with me if I start doing this. It's like my security blanket, but Jesse told me I need to learn to grow and use this, so...
So it's going to be very hard to reach that now. Oh, no.
Oh, that's even better. Okay. I'll be holding your hand, Jim. Oh, so anyway, we are the children's pastors, and we are just so pleased to tell you that we just love your kids, and you have awesome kids. We've been doing a series on praying, and they are the best prayers ever. You know, I'm just blessed. And, you know, kids have big prayers, and they're beautiful prayers. And sometimes as adults, we've lost faith. And so when our child prays, Lord, I pray for all the starving children in the whole world, we smile like, oh, isn't that sweet? But no, it's powerful. You know, they have more faith than us in a lot of ways. And so... encourage your kids to pray because their prayers are powerful and they're amazing.
And we've been teaching children for over the last 10 years. And you know what? There's nothing more interesting. We're going to speak about praying for others today. Yeah. And there's nothing more that they like to do than to pray for others or that they're more involved in.
Yeah.
They love to pray for others. And they do that. And they're all in on it.
Their prayer requests. So I love that Sunday when we have that time with where we're praying for others. They're also world changers, and so we kind of try to bring that in with the offerings and stuff that they bring. And so in the past, we've done some things.
I don't know. We got two goats going.
We did 100 chickens, 200 chickens. Yeah, some different things over the time.
Mosquito netting. Yeah. Girls going to school.
The last ones was two times before we did girls, so girls would be able to go to school. We sent money for that, and then now we just got two goats. And let me tell you, these are going to be the healthiest goats you've ever seen because they have had so much prayer. They'll be the most friendly, the healthiest, and kids have been praying for these goats for quite a while, and they're going to be going to homes that have been prayed for already too. So we're excited about that. Oh, and then our new project, and we always let the kids, we give them a bunch of choices and let them pick, but the new project is a fish pond. So I don't know why, but I'm just tickled about that idea that someone's going to go out and have a pond to fish in. Okay. All right, we'll move on. Okay, so we are talking about praying for others.
Do you want me to open in prayer then?
Oh, yeah. There we go.
All right.
Way to go, Jim.
All right. Well, Father, we thank you for this time, for this day, for this this banquet that we're going to have here too after, Lord. We just thank you, and we know that our words just don't come with just words, but by the power of your Holy Spirit. And I just pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to... bring to life the things that you want to bring to life, Lord, and to make changes in us, Lord. Amen. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, so we're going to start with giving the kids a chance to get their wiggles out. So, kids, I need you to run up here. Seriously, run. All right, all right. So this is a memory verse, and you guys are lucky this time.
Every week we do
only
a memory verse.
Three words. I think you'll get it. But you guys put it in the right order. Three words. It's a puzzle. Go ahead. Start looking at it. Can help each other. Okay. We've got ceasing, without, and pray. What's going to come first?
Without ceasing.
He got it.
There you go.
He
Good
got
job.
It. Pray without ceasing. Okay. So we need three equal groups. Hadassah, you lead this group of prayer over here. Okay. And then you're going to be the... Brielle, you're going to be this section. She needs some people in her group over here, okay? And then Shane, you want to be our guy over here? You come on over to the far corner over here. You're gonna be pray. Oh. Sorry, you have to go over there. You're ceasing. You're without.
This is going to be an easy verse. There's only three words.
Okay, now if you're still standing, find a group. Well, this group needs some help, and this group needs help. And girls, some of you might have to move over here. Okay, so we're going to have three groups. So this is group. We're going to see who can do the loudest. And then you're going to be right over there with these guys, okay? Okay, there we go. This group needs help, but they have help there. Will you two slide over to this group and help them? Okay. All right. Okay, so it's going to go like this. You're going to say pray without ceasing, okay? Are you ready? Right, you're going to start it off, this group. Pray.
Ceasing.
Okay, now I know these guys can do like 20 times better. So try it again.
Really?
I have heard you.
Really?
Ready, set.
Pray without ceasing.
Pray without
Come on.
Okay, this needs more over here, okay, you guys? I know you three on the end can yell. Ready? This is your chance to really
do you
let
want
them
me
go.
To help them over here?
Yeah,
I can
okay,
do
well,
it. I can help these guys over
okay,
here.
Okay, ready, set, go.
Pray!
Without ceasing!
Oh, that was much better. Okay, do you guys think you can beat the audience? Do you think? Let's try. Okay. Yeah, you guys, I'm going to point to you. Do you know what to say? You got your memory verse down?
Yeah.
Okay, ready. Okay, here we go.
Pray without ceasing.
Ooh, these guys are loud,
going to be tough. Okay, are you ready? Ready, ready. Okay, ready, set, go.
Pray without ceasing.
What's your chance? Oh,
okay.
See, there are some people that are so competitive. All right, there you go, audience.
Pray without ceasing.
Oh my gosh, you guys. Okay, go one more time. We got to beat them.
Pray
without ceasing.
Oh, they did it. Okay, you guys can have sucker. But you know what? Our audience was so good. So you can take a sucker and then take a few. Take one or two extra. How many did you get, Jim? Maybe we better not give that audience some candy. Okay.
Usually the verses are a little bit longer that we do every Sunday morning.
Why don't you open that one up and then...
Ceasing? Oh, yeah.
If you have cousins or friends sitting out there or extra kids that are sitting out there, take some for them too, okay? And there is no chocolate. Yeah, if you have a brother out there.
I need to get bubble gum. Is there any bubble gum?
There is no bubble gum in these suckers. Last week there was.
I don't like the mystery ones.
I'm bringing some more soup.
Okay, got to hurry, guys. Got lots of parents waiting.
Oh, wait, you
okay.
get two?
You know what? You can pass these out if you want to other people that raise their hand. Can you do that for me?
Pray without ceasing. Isn't that a good verse? It's very short, but so powerful, you know? I think in the Greek it says, what does it say? Pray.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, sometimes that seems almost impossible. How do you keep praying continuously? But in Greek it means constant reoccurring. So it doesn't mean like you have to be always in prayer, but it means all throughout the day, your reoccurring prayers. Prayers are going up to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thought? That all throughout the day, the prayers of the saints are constantly going up to heaven.
And I'm sure everyone does that now. You know, you pray about this kind of thing and you pray about this kind of thing. We just want to stir up.
Yeah.
Stir up even more prayer for people. Even more prayer for things that are going on. Because how many people out here have seen an answer to prayer before?
Yeah, raise your hand.
Could you raise your hand?
And then look around.
That is amazing.
Look around. I mean, it's like almost everybody has their hand up. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't that just motivate you to want to pray more when you see everyone's hands? Okay, now how many of you have seen like maybe at least three times your prayers have been answered? See, look at this. Look around, you guys. This is encouraging. I get the best view because I'm up here. But, okay, how about 10 times? I can still raise my hand too. Isn't God amazing?
Maybe innumerable times.
Innumerable times. Yes. Really? And times we don't even know he's answering. So prayer is a wonderful thing.
In the pray without ceasing, you know, you could be in the grocery store and you could see somebody and you might not ever get to say anything to it, but you can say your prayer for him in your heart. You can say it about every little thing when you're walking right along. It's just like a relationship. It's more like a relationship,
like we're
together talking to God about situations that we run into all the time.
I have a couple of weeks ago, I was doing what I do normally. I wake up in the morning and I make my list. And I was feeling very proud of myself because I start my list and I go, oh, I forgot to put devotions. And I put devotions right at the top. You know, and I make it with a capital D. I was feeling really good about this. And I'll be honest, it doesn't always happen at the beginning of the time. But I'm proud that I thought that I would put it first, you know. But then sometimes things come along and sometimes it doesn't happen. But anyway, I was feeling good about that. And then I had my devotions and God told me, it wasn't that God was being mean to me. Because I've been saying, Lord, show me. Just show me anything that displeases you in me, you know, that I'm doing. And you said, you know, Hillary, I'm really offended about that. This devotion thing, you put it up at the top. I'm like, really, God? He said, yeah. He said, I don't want to be just a half an hour in your day. And I don't want to be, I don't want you scheduling me in to your day. I want to schedule your day. And I thought, oh, all right. So I thought, okay, I'm not going to make my list till after I meet with God. And then I can say, well, God, what do you want for my day? And then it's just, he's scheduling my day. I'm open to him rather than me trying to put God in my little schedule box. But I don't want to say to anybody that that's wrong because it's wonderful to take time out for God. And we'll be talking
like
about
like Daniel
that
prayed three
later,
times
that
a day.
That's a very important thing. But it was just, you know, he didn't want it to. Like what if Jim did that?
Yeah, it wouldn't work very good if I said to Hillary, you know, you got 15 minutes or we got 15 minutes we're going to take in the morning and then that's it. And then tomorrow I'll talk to you again about it. You know? That wouldn't go very far in our relationship at all, you know.
What? I'm on your list?
But we're surely not saying anything about set time prayers.
No,
it's like Daniel prayed three times a day, and them set times are great. But we're talking about like a continual thing where you're talking in relationship with God.
Making your life a conversation with God. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing that we in this congregation believe that, because there's lots of congregations that don't even believe that you can have a conversation with God, you know, that you can hear back from God. And how sad is that? How sad is that? That you can't, you know, I think it's just the most beautiful thing to have a relationship. Don't you feel that way?
Yeah,
that you to relate with God and have him speak to us too, speak back to us. So it's a wonderful thing. Okay, so one of the things that we do pray a lot for is our own needs and people we love. And that's a wonderful thing. I think God brings people into your life. So you pray for them and people you love and all in that kind of stuff. And so do you want to say anything more about that?
You know, that's what our main prayers are, it seems like, because they're the closest to us, our friends and our family. And we're concerned more about them things than anything in our relationships.
So what we like to do with kids is we like to activate whatever we're teaching. So right now, we're going to shoot up a prayer, and I want you to ask the Lord who you should pray for. Someone that you're close to, that you love, okay? And then just think of the prayers that are going to go up. So, kids too, everybody take and ask the Lord, Lord, who do you want me to pray for? Who's someone I love?
Might be in your family, might be your friends, it might be whatever.
Yeah, so real quick, send up that prayer. All right, that's awesome. That's like 100 prayers that just went up. Woof. All right. So it's easy to pray for those that we love, but the Bible also asks us to pray for our enemies. And that is a harder one sometimes to choke down. Matthew, it's Matthew 5:44. You want to read it? Or I'll read it. Okay. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you.
Did I read that right? To love your enemies? Oh, boy, I was wondering the first time I read that, if that was true or whatever. It's just amazing. But you know that they need it more than anybody, our enemies. That, you know, it says in John, he that has the Son has life, but he that has not the Son has not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Mm-hmm. And some of us have been there, you know, where everything, people all dislike you because of the way you are, you know, and enemies to God. But they need help more than anybody, our enemies.
I think we all have prayed for our enemies, but it might not have been the right prayer.
Yeah, Lord, get them. You know, get them.
Let
they're not doing
it. Fall into their own traps.
Really.
Lord, I pray they're not at work tomorrow.
Yeah, really.
Give them a new job.
So we are praying for our enemies.
Yeah. All right. So there's a couple examples in the Bible of people that have prayed for their enemies, and you want to tell them about that.
Yeah, well, but there are times where maybe you want to pray like David prayed, you know, may they fall into their own traps while I get out of it. You know, I'm not in trouble from their friends, you know. But sometimes they just need help. Oh, yeah. they're lonely. They don't like themselves. A lot of cases, and we just need to pray for him.
Stephen prayed for Saul.
Oh, Stephen.
It's a good story.
Do you remember Stephen? A little bit up from the western gate is Stephen's gate in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And Stephen was praying for his enemies. He was speaking, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost. And the Sanhedrin, they were getting more and more angry as he was telling the story from Moses up until Jesus, and he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and then he finally said, I behold Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And they put their ears, they covered their ears, and they pushed him out of the town, out of the gates, and they started to stone him. And he said, Lord, receive my spirit. And he also said to him, Lord, forgive what they're doing. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, they just don't know. And they laid their coats by Saul. You know, I don't know if he was the instigator of the whole thing, but they put their coats down by Saul. And they stoned him to death in Stephen. But he said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Very similar to what Jesus said, or the very thing that Jesus said when he was on the cross. But a little while longer, he was going to persecute people up in Damascus, some of the Christians.
Saul was. Stephen died.
And he saw lightning come down and Jesus talked to him. So Stephen's prayer didn't go unanswered. Yeah. You know, Jesus went and met Saul on the road, and he became one of the strongest voices in the Christian church that there ever was on there.
And Jesus on the cross.
And then Jesus, the same way, you know, he said to the people that were killing him, the people that were pounding nails into their hands and into their feet, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You know, he said that to about them. And so much that the testimony of the Roman guards were just, after he died, surely this was the Son of God. This is, it made such an impact on their lives after that, I believe.
That's true. So right now I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to picture somebody that has persecuted you or despised you or cursed you or hasn't been good to you. And let the Lord bring to your mind who that is. And then I want you to pray for them. Pray blessing on them. Pray change in their life for them.
Amen.
Well, it's really fun being up here watching. I always just get excited to think about all the prayers going up. So excited. All right. Okay. All right. Moving on. So that was wonderful. So now we're going to talk about a little bit about, it's 1 Timothy 2:2. It says, pray for your kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. And so it's so important for us to pray for our leaders. That was in Timothy.
It's up there, yeah.
You know who Timothy was praying for was Nero at the time. And if, I don't know if some of you know your history, but Nero was horrible to the Christians. He was hunting them down and putting them in the Colosseums and having them just tortured. And I don't even go too deep in it because there's kids here. But it was just awful. And here he is telling us in writing, pray for our kings. You know, and he has good reason to say so that you live a godly, peaceful life. Because I'm sure that his life was kind of a scary life, I would think.
Yeah, just in our nation, too, there's dissension in a lot of the things. We need to pray for our leaders. We need to pray for those in authority so that we can live peaceful lives in here. So we can live godly, peaceful lives on here and not be always in trouble. And that they make the right decisions. Yeah. That they're always doing the right thing.
And not always, not just our government, pray for our leaders, pray for Bob and Dave. They carry a lot, you know, and sometimes they get weary. So, you know, it just helps if there's a body coming up, girding them up in prayer behind them. Or if you have kids in school, if you've got that teacher that just drives you nuts, you know, pray for that teacher. That, you know, that'll bring change in your heart towards that teacher, just if you pray for that teacher, you know, because they're an authority and you respect them and pray for them, and it brings change. God answers prayer. So, all right, and we have some examples of, I'll get the cup out. Nehemiah.
You know, sometimes you might not think, I'm going to pray for the government, but I'm not, who am I, you know, to change the events of the things. But Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer. He was a cupbearer in Shushan, the palace of Shushan. He was a cupbearer to Artaxerxes. And, you know, that's not that good of a job. Because if they poison the king, then you are the one that dies first or whatever. If they try to poison the king, you're the one that dies. What's that?
Are you going to show us the example how that works?
You know, all of a sudden, and they're all, you know, the king's eyes are on him all the time, you know. So one time he came into the palace, and he was very, very sad. He had heard the news, just like we watch the news at night. Some of the news is terrible, but we can use that news to start praying for the country. When we hear the news on there, we can see, you know, we're not ignorant of his devices, how he's working and stuff like that. We can pray. And so he had heard news from Jerusalem. Oh, the walls are broken down, the gates are burned, the people are afflicted, you know. Oh, and he was so sad, but he decided to pray and to fast for the country. And so it was a very bad thing to come into the presence of the king being sad and being downcast, you know. He's supposed to be up. And he said he never had been sad in his life, it said, before the king. And the king noticed it. And he set out a prayer right away, you know, Lord, help me, or whatever it was, you know, said, why are you sad? And he said, well, how can I, you know, not be sad? Because the walls of Jerusalem are broken down, the gates are burned. And then he asked what he did. But an interesting note, it says in parentheses in my Bible that it says the queen was right there. The queen, and it could very well be, it could have very well been Esther, as we looked in history. Could have well been. But we know that Esther, Artaxerxes, was at the time that it was that she could have had a big influence. And Mordecai at that time, because Ezra, Nehemiah, and Esther were all at that period of time. So there was a big influence for the Jews. So he allowed them to go in there, build up. The king, Artaxerxes, allowed them to build. Go in there, get letters, go in there and build the walls of Jerusalem again and build up the places inside there. So, you know, he was just a cupbearer, dangerous job. You might be a diaper changer. You might be a garbage. Yeah, that's not a fun job, I don't think.
Yeah,
we had six kids and we had bunches of diapers.
You can
make a difference, you know.
They thought that Xerxes was Artaxerxes' dad, and that Esther would have married King Xerxes, if I'm getting the same these names right. So Esther would have been an influence in this young man's life all of his life until he took leadership. And they say in records that there was a strong queen's influence at that time. So we just think, why would it be in the Bible if the queen was sitting next to him?
And think of Queen Esther. You know, she probably won a beauty pageant or something. They picked out the beautiful girls for the kingdom, and she was one of the ones that were picked. They picked her out.
Yeah.
You know, and she changed the whole history of the, they were going to kill all the Jewish people.
So that means you can be that somebody. You know, it was just a slave or just a girl. And God used both of them in a huge way to change history. So don't think that you're a nobody. It's easy to think, it's just me. Or like he was talking, you know, why should I vote? It's just my vote. You know, we can be world changers. Amen. You know, it could be you. And my mom, she prayed a whole week. She fasted and prayed for the government. And she really was a little nobody. I mean, we came from a small Floodwood, Minnesota, small town. And at the time, it wasn't like she had anything. We actually had sold her house, and they were building on new land. And so she really was, at this point, living in what you would consider a chicken coop size. They built this teeny house. They lived there while they were building. And she wants to go see my brother who lives in D.C. And I remember at the time her just being concerned about, you know, oh, what am I going to wear? You know, I'm going to be in D.C. where things are a little different. And anyway, she went. And at the time, she was with my brother. And my brother just happened to have a friend who had some influence with somebody else who had more influence. And so while they were touring the White House, all of a sudden, my mom finds herself in the Oval Office. And while they're talking, she's putting her hands on the table, the desk that all the bills will be passing, just praying for these bills to pass. And while she's there doing that, the Lord reminds her, do you remember when you fasted and prayed?
Yeah.
Do you remember when you fasted and prayed? I heard those prayers. So, you know what? It could be you. I just want to stir you up that, you know, you can do great things just in your prayer life. Like you might think, oh, I don't have time, or I've got kids and diapers. You know, you know what? Your prayers are so powerful that even in the watch of the middle of the night, you can be changing, changing
Amen.
World events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember Daniel praying, and Gabriel was talking to Daniel later. Sometimes it seemed like it take a little bit of time for your prayer to answer. He said, as soon as you prayed, I came to answer. But I ran into the prince of Persia, and I had to have Michael the archangel come and straighten things out so I can get the answer to you right away. So, you know, so God can do mighty things through you. He made you special, very, very special.
Did you ever think that your prayer could get an angel on a mission? How exciting. Your prayer is going to ignite the mission. So, you know, because we're like Daniel. We're like these people. They were, we sometimes put them on this pedestal that they were so holy.
But he was really a captive.
He was a captive.
Into the country,
yeah,
yes.
He really was. And same with Nehemiah, just a cupbearer. All right, so we talked about prayer, like life prayer. Oh, and you know what? Let's do that right now before we move on. Let's pray for somebody in the government. Did we pray already for that? We didn't. Okay. All right, let's do that.
Amen. It doesn't take
Amen.
Long to pray for somebody either, does
Amen.
It? Doesn't it?
These guys are prayers, though.
Yeah,
I'm looking
really.
Out and you're still praying.
Yeah,
I don't
really.
Want to rush you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then the last one of the last things we want to talk to about is praying in the Spirit.
Or if there's deeper prayers than just the ones that we're talking about, you know, like the letting up of the prayer, like now. There's like fasting and praying, and then there's intercession, and then there's praying in the Spirit. There are a little bigger price that you paid for that one. It's not just like the prayer that goes up like that. It's a little bit deeper. Like I remember Paul praying for, he said that, oh, how I have pains like in childbirth. Which scripture is that one?
Yeah, are we going to do that right now?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So that is Galatians, we're jumping ahead, Galatians 4:17. That says, my little children, of when I, Oh, pull down the glasses.
My little children, for whom I labor and birth again until Christ be formed in you. I mean, that's a prayer. It's a groaning. He says, I got birth pains. You know, men, he was talking about birth pains. I've seen Hillary go through it 6 times. Oh, that was painful enough just to see that. You know, and I never went through it. And, you know, I would say, you know, I feel the same thing that you do. I have like these sympathy pains, and she just said, shut up. You know, because she's like this, and I'm this, you know.
Because I went to labor, and all of a sudden he's talking to the nurse. You know, I got these pains
I got
right
these
here.
Pains, too, and, you know, I just feel these things, you know.
That, all of a sudden all the nurses are, oh, do you feel faint? Can
yeah,
you stand
Yeah, and pretty soon the
love?
Attention's on me, and I know, and it's really supposed to be
I'm
on her.
I'm in labor!
So that doesn't
Stop it,
work.
Jim.
But Paul's talking about something a little bit deeper here.
There is actually something, and I have felt it, that kind of hits you. And raise your hand if you've had this felt. It kind of hits you in the gut. Kind of like you're praying, also, and it's like, feeling. That is the Holy Spirit on you. It's kind of like this move of the travailing in birth. It's kind of an odd thing, but it, there is such a thing.
And it can happen to guys, too. It's
and it can happen to guys.
Really. And we always were so thankful that we weren't women, you know, when we saw what happened. I mean, it's wonderful to have a baby and everything, but the things that they have to go through, oh, I felt so sorry for Hillary when she had to walk like this. You know, for so long, I was just like, ah, oh, it was just so sad to see. And but at the same time, I'm probably thinking, oh, thank you, God, that I don't have to walk like that. You know?
He was sweet, though. When you know how when you get pregnant, you eat more? So I would start eating more.
I probably did, too.
Jim did, too. I used to get Whopper Juniors, and then I went up to, oh, no, I don't know. I went up to a Whopper Junior, I think, and then all of a sudden he's going, I'll get it. Or it was I went to a Whopper. This is quite a while ago. But then he was like, I'll go with a double Whopper and cheese. Are you pregnant, too? No, he was compassionate. Okay.
But Paul's talking about what a prayer that, you know, he's not praying for, hey, that new car that you want, or, you know, that the family gets this or something like that. No, he's praying that Christ would be formed in you.
Yes.
That you're, that more, the Christ is going to come out of you. He's going to be more and more and more coming out of you, and he's groaning, and he's praying, and he's believing like Jesus, you know, sweat and blood. He's like really getting down to the to where it's at there and praying and seeing some differences in people's lives.
We just want to stir you up to move into that next level of prayer if you're not there yet, or to move into it even deeper, because it's amazing. What the Lord has given us is the Spirit. Like in 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says, what then shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I also will pray with my mind. That was last week's memory verse for the
Yeah, you guys are lucky. That was last year, last week.
That was
it's
easier.
A lot longer.
This one was easier. But pray with my spirit. What does that mean? You know, that's talking about listening to the Holy Spirit. And it's also talking about speaking in tongues. Because when we use our gift of tongues, we don't know what things we're touching. Mm-hmm. Let's go to Romans 26:28. Oh, I got to look that up. Okay, you talk.
Romans 26. But I can read it.
Oh, read it there. Isn't that nice?
What is the conclusion then?
Did I?
I will pray.
That's not it.
Oh, that's not it?
Well, let me get it before
Whoops.
This. Okay. All right. Glasses on. We're ready. Okay. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And sometimes we are weak, aren't we, in our prayers? We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance to God's will. So sometimes you can be praying in tongues, and you might be praying for yourself, something you don't even know needs to happen inside you, or you could be praying for the saints in another country or land. Isn't that amazing? Once I was about 12, and all of a sudden I found myself, I remember it really clearly, I was on a bridge, and I remember I found myself just weeping. I was like, God, why am I crying like this? And then the name Timothy came into my mind. I knew he was from Ireland, and I remember just praying and weeping for Timothy. And I know it was, I mean, I remember it to this day so vivid, so I know it was something that impacted my life, and I probably impact Timothy's life too.
Yeah, right.
You know? So you know what? That can be what you can have, because the Holy Spirit is in us. When we speak in tongues, it revs us up, and we pray for things.
And we can pray in our mind about the thing, but if we can pray in the Spirit about the thing, a lot more might break in that situation, you know, because the Spirit understands what's going on, and it knows what's happening, and it makes intercession for the saints.
Amen. So we've been practicing. So right now, if you can pray in your mind, like it says, you can pray with your... I better put my glasses on. All right. When then shall I... What then shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, and I will also pray with my mind.
So that can conclude... That
let's
can be
do that
tongues
right now.
Or just,
let's just pray in the spirit or pray in your mind, whatever you're the most comfortable with, because I know some people might not be comfortable with that. But, oh, Father, we just lift you up in the spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Who just think what we might have done, what we did. I mean, we don't know. Think what God is going to do from those prayers, you know, and we don't know what those prayers were. But sometimes if you ask, sometimes I think you'll pray in the spirit and then God gives you in your mind what you were praying for. And I think that's always exciting when you kind of know, oh, that's what I was praying for. Oh, okay, Father. Yeah.
And sometimes you might not even know the situation.
Yeah. Because we do have a little bit of time. Yes. So we were on a trip yesterday, and I did make a wrong, I don't know what I did, because I thought I stayed right on the road, but all of a sudden we're in the wrong town.
I was sleeping in the car.
Never sleep when I'm driving.
And Google wasn't with us either at the point.
I should have Googled. Yeah, we should have had that. Anyway, all of a sudden we are in the wrong town, but we weren't upset about it. But I was like, I'm like, okay, I just got so agitated. I just cannot drive anymore. And I had to get out of the car. And I went in and got some coffee, and we were talking. And I said, I don't know. I said, I am just so agitated right now. I said, no, I don't have any reason really to be upset. You know, we weren't upset that we had gotten a little out of the way. And Jim was like,
I was separated too from her at the time. I was in the gas station.
Yeah,
and I felt very agitated too. Not because we missed the turn or anything.
We were both just like agitated, and then we just felt like, hey.
We thought this is the
maybe
something
we're supposed
in the
to
city.
Be in Hayward, because maybe we're supposed to pray for this town. And so we just went to prayer as we're going through town. And I'm just looking for churches. Lord, show me a church I can pray for, you know, for these people in this town. And we just got a burden for Hayward. We were just praying in tongues, and God was revealing things to us. And so it was like we thought we were on the wrong path, but we were on the right path. And all of a sudden, we're praying for a community, Hayward. And you look at Paul. What did he spend a lot of time doing? He was in jail, and he did a lot of writing, and he did a lot of praying for communities. So we can pray for whole communities to bring change. Isn't that exciting?
Amen.
All right. Okay. I think that's right on where we were going, right? Oh, Jesus prayed for Peter. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes when you're praying, it said, Jesus prayed for us, even. He said in his last prayers, I don't want to only pray for but those that would believe after them. So he's praying for us, that we'd be one with him. But he also prayed for Peter.
Yeah.
He said, you know what? I know that Satan wants to sift you, you know, like wheat. He wants to have at you. And we all know some people that he seems like he's just destroying their lives completely. and he wants to sift him. He said, but Jesus said, but Peter, I prayed for you. And when you're strong again, you strengthen your brothers, you know? So sometimes we need to pray for others that they can be strengthened.
Uphold what they're going to be going through or what they're going through. You know, sometimes we're carrying burdens for other people. Sometimes you can be, have you ever been in the middle of a crisis? Sometimes it's like you're just walking through it. Just, you know, it's just enough to get through the day of the crisis. But other people come along and they bear you up in prayer. And then it's kind of like like the suitcase, carrying somebody else's burden. You know, you pack on, carry on, you know, somebody else. You know somebody else going through it, and you pack that on. You start carrying that burden in prayer for that other person and bear them up. And how many of you can attest, if you've gone through something, you felt your brothers praying for you? I know when my dad died, I was just walking in the motions, but I just felt the body of Christ coming together, girding me up underneath. So prayer is so important that way.
And we all know somebody that it looks like that the enemy is just sifting.
Yeah, I'm going to read that.
Their guards are all gone anymore, it seems like. And the devil is having a heyday with them, nothing but turmoil and terrible things are happening to him. So if we could say a prayer for, if you know somebody like that, that God will strengthen them.
Can I read this verse
first?
Sure. Because this verse really jumped out at me. It's Luke 22:31. It actually made me feel emotional because I know someone in my life that I feel this is happening to. Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Then that's the same, that was the scripture that we read.
What?
Yeah, that's the same scripture that we read about that he would sift you.
Oh, you said it, but I didn't read it.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, I read it. You got it twice.
Yes. Really?
Oh, dear. Okay, anyway, but isn't that cool? I mean, sift you as wheat. And that he's desired to have you. Ah, I mean, do you have children or parents or loved ones in your life that's happening to? I mean, it just jumped out to me. It's like, oh my gosh, this is what's happening to someone that I know. And so I was just like, oh, I need to pray for them and I need to pray that their faith would fail not. Like, do you know Christians who their faith has failed and all of a sudden they're not walking with God anymore? You know, let's not let Satan have them. We need to be praying for them. Mm-hmm. Come on. So let's do that. Can we do that?
But right? Yeah, does anybody remember old sifters? They had a thing that they'd grind it right to the finest powder.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, it just wants to destroy us, the enemy, sometimes.
So let's see if pray and say, ask God, is there somebody that the enemy wants to take out, to destroy? Do it right now. This is serious stuff. So let's, even though it's fun. All right.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Even kids, pray. Pray for relatives that you know are not walking with the Lord.
Or bullies.
Or bullies, yeah. This is important. Even kids, not even kids, kids especially, have powerful prayers. All right. This verse makes me want to stomp my foot. Satan, you cannot have that person. Do you ever get that way? Just, I'm not going to let you do that. I think this verse is kind of like that. You know, put some force into it. No way. Satan, you can't have that person. All right.
And then finally, you know, not to give up on your prayers. You know, if you don't see anything happen. I remember Elisha, when he was praying for a dead child. He was praying for him. First of all, he went and had his servant put a staff on him. Nothing happened. Then he went himself, and then he laid on the child, put his nose on him, his face on him, and nothing happened. But the body started warming up. But he went away, and he walked around, and he tried again. And he prayed again, and all of a sudden the young boy sneezed, and he came to life. And then Elijah, he said, there's a rainstorm coming, Ahab. There's a rain. I hear it coming, you know. But there was no rain for 3.5 years, you know. There was no rain that Ahab saw because there was a drought in the land. And he went and climbed up on Mount Carmel, which is at Haifa there, so you can see over the Mediterranean Sea. And he went and said, bowed his head down before his knees and prayed. And he sent his servant to go look for clouds up there. And his servant, he sent him one time. No cloud. Nothing. Looked like a perfect day out there. No clouds. Like the days that have all been in the past. Then he prayed again. And he prayed again. And he went up there. And 7 times he prayed. Said, go up there. This time he said, you know, I see a cloud about the size of a man's hand coming up. He said, get ready. The rain is coming. The rain is coming. So to not give up on your prayers, you know, because we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't know what's happening all the time. But we keep praying and we keep digging in, you know. Believe that you receive it.
Have you ever gotten discouraged in your prayer? I have. And so much, like I think there are some relatives in my family that I don't pray very frequently for them anymore. I guess I just gave up or something, you know. But God doesn't want us to give up.
That's right.
He does not want us to lose faith, you know. So grit your teeth down and say, I'm going to pray this one through. I'm going to push this one through. You know, I would have given up maybe on the third time. And I'm surprised the servant didn't give up. That's a lot of running. 7 times up a hill to see if a cloud is coming. So sometimes you put a little effort into it, right? But it's so worth the effort, you know. So even right now, if you can think of something or some prayer you just gave up on, let the Lord, you know, and you can think hard, but let the Lord place it in your mind. Oh, you might go, oh, God, I forgot about that. So close your eyes and say, Lord, this is praying in the Spirit, letting Him guide us.
And you are able, God. You are able to hear them prayers, Lord. You are able to do something that hasn't been done before. My favorite verse is, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men the things God's prepared for them that love Him. You know, He's in continual work.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Amen. And then Hallelujah. It also says, watch unto prayer. So I'm so excited about the prayers that we just sent up.
Anticipation. There's some rain coming.
Yeah.
Well, I hope not today.
But not today.
But there's an answer to your prayers that are coming. They are coming. Sometimes they seem like a long time for like Abraham and if you look in Hebrews 11, it took a long time maybe sometimes, but their answers are coming. You know, they might be stopped by the enemy. They might be stopped by other things, but answers are coming.
So for this morning, we pray for people we love, that we are on our hearts. We prayed for our enemies, people that are hard on us, that will bring change. We prayed for someone in authority in the government. And we prayed in the Spirit, and we prayed deeper prayers. And we also prayed, what was the last one we just prayed for? Oh, we prayed for people that Satan might have their grips on right now. And then the last one we prayed is for somebody we've given up faith and hope on. So we have sent
all your prayers, yeah,
together as a group, a lot of prayers. So let's just pray and seal those prayers now, okay? Mm-hmm.
Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the prayers that have been just sent up now, Lord. We pray that they wouldn't come back void, Lord, that you would answer the prayers and that you do wonderful things in these Amen. Prayers, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you for even more faith to be pumped into them, Lord. Mm-hmm. And we ask for your blessings upon them, Lord. And to do your work, and we thank you for your work in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you for angels that have mm-hmm. put on assignment now. They're
yes,
coming
sir.
Down to earth to stir things up, Lord.
Really?
We just thank you for all the people that we care so much about that you're going to be touching.
Mm-hmm.
We just thank you that you are a changer, that our prayers mm-hmm. change things through you. And so, Lord,
yes,
we just ask that you'd stir us up and stir Living Waters up
mm-hmm.
to want to have the excitement to pray more, Lord, to just ignite them with fire and with the Holy Spirit and with words of prayer. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Great. We'll give it back to you, Dave.
That was awesome.
And they left the cup up here for me.
Oh.
There we go. You know, I what I love about Jim and Hillary, the simplicity of the message. Sometimes we get things way too difficult, way too far out there. I love just the simplicity of prayer, the way you brought it. Is for me, one of the testimonies I have of children's prayers, shortly after I took the pastorate here, and I was just kind of going through something. And you weren't the teachers at that time, but the teacher had a group of kids in here. I don't know what was going on. It was on a Wednesday night. And I just asked her, I said, could the kids pray for me? And she says, sure. So I sat down on the step there. These kids gathered around me, and they prayed. I mean, they went after stuff. And I was just weeping. I was just a mess. I was snot all over the place, you know. Because of the power of these kids' prayers. So, you know, encourage your kids to pray. Encourage your children. I love the word that you have there. Kids have a faith. And I tell you, it reduced me to a puddle of whatever. It's really good. Speaking of prayer, we will have some teams up here. If you need prayer, if you need somebody to stand in agreement with you, if you need to laugh, if somebody can laugh with you, we'll have our prayer teams up here. We want to invite everybody to the potluck. And just to bug Rachel, the youth is putting on the potluck, by the way. Just to bug Rachel, here's an assignment. Tell her thank you for the pot blessing. Okay? Just watch her. And don't tell her I put you up to that. It's our secret. Let's stand together. Father, we thank you for the simplicity of faith. God, we thank you that you hear our prayers. Whether we feel it or not, or whether the answer is quick and coming, God, that there are prayers that our forefathers prayed that are still before your throne, waiting to be answered. And Father, there are prayers that we pray today that will affect the generations. And yet there's prayers that we pray for those that we love, those that have used us and despised us, God, that you want to answer very quickly. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being able to have your ear, of being able to speak to you, God, the things that are in our hearts. That is such a high and holy privilege. Thank you. Bless this body. Encourage and strengthen. Bless our time of fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.